kick off hour number three of the program. It's Three and Out Monday edition. Appreciate you joining us. If you miss any hour of the show, you can always check out the podcast. Hour one already up, hour two going up now. Each and every day, you can subscribe on iTunes. Get those directly to your device. You've read the letter.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? This is Billy Napier, his open letter to Gator fans.
It feels like a fundraising letter.
I mean, Philip Fulmer used to write these. It just didn't seem like they came out in direct opposition of like something bad happening. They were just like,
yeah, I don't
random this time. Of year.
I don't have a problem with the letter.
Okay,
I have a problem with the timing.
Yeah, good point.
But I get that this is like, you know, the big fundraising time of the year. People are supposed to be excited about football.
Hmm.
You know, he talks about we're opening up the new indoor facility, standalone. Yeah. It's kind of strange to me that Florida hasn't had a dedicated football facility. They've had a basketball one for a long time. And he's talking about just all the stuff that, you know, they're doing for the kids, all the trips and the – I think they're just trying to raise some money. But, okay. Again, the timing makes people think, oh, you're saying that you're not recruiting well because you don't have enough money. Like, the facilities are behind, the training's behind, mm-hmm. The organization is behind, and I just it comes off based on the timing alone like a little bit of excuse making, but I don't think that was the point. This feels like it may have been a planned release 2 months ago, 3 months ago, because it's just like Gator fans are great. Here's all the stuff we're doing. It costs a lot of money to do this stuff. He like gives the price tag of the facility. The price, you know, like how much this is going to cost and this and that. And then at the end, it's like, you know, we're so happy to be here. I feel better about it every day. Go Gators. But the timing is probably the biggest issue. Like I said, when things aren't going great, best thing to do is just keep quiet. Unless you're, like you said, like Aaron Rodgers, or if he had a proven track record at Florida, right? If he'd won two natties and you were having a down year in recruiting and maybe had, you know, a down season, went 8-4 or something after you'd won 10, 11, 12, 13 games a couple times, then I could understand it because you have equity. Billy Napier doesn't have any equity with the fans. He's done nothing for the fans. Mm-hmm. And that's not his fault necessarily. I mean, if they were recruiting a little bit better, perhaps, but he's only had the job for a few months. So I don't think there's anything that he could be doing necessarily, but I don't think the timing was great.
Yeah, I mean, their recruiting's been okay.
Well, and also, you got to remember, like...
I mean, previous to him, not now, obviously.
Well, what did Mullen... I mean, he came in last year. Remember, we thought... They were in, like, the 80s or something. They finished pretty strong.
Yeah.
So...
They've created, like, this new... There's been, like, this new tier now in the SEC where... Like, the top teams, like, I don't know. I mean, going back to, like, former days, like, Tennessee and Florida recruited near the top.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just, it's mainly just Alabama and Georgia until Texas A&M's last little blip here. But I guess usually there's only, like, three teams that can recruit at the top in the SEC. Because they're all fighting over the same players. Somebody's got to be kind of left out. And then there's the next tier down. And that tier's been made up of the Auburns, LSUs, kind of in a rotational setup. Tennessee's gotten up there a few of the Butch Jones years into that, like, tier two, where you're not, like, first or second in the country, but you're, like, you know, whatever, 6th to 10th in the country. Florida's been right there, either in that mix or just outside of it, kind of in the next just bunch of teams. It just depends on the year, too. I mean, we talked about it. Rise are going off the air on Friday, but like right now, you know, like Arkansas sits at 6, but there's no way they're going to finish 6. They've got 12 3-stars already. They only have 5 4-stars.
And they have 17 total commits.
Yeah, they just have a ton of players. You know, Georgia, who sits one spot behind them, their class is much stronger because they have a 5-star and 7 4-stars. So they essentially have 8 players to Arkansas's 5, and then they still have 9 more slots open. In the 3-star range that Arkansas's already taken. So, you know, it is early. You know, Tennessee with 5 players that are 4 and 5-star. I mean, that's as good as Arkansas right now. who's up there sitting at 6 in the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, on the other hand, though, is like 30-something, 34th, I think.
36.
No, 34th was Miami. 36 is Florida, yeah.
Four 4-stars, 4 3-stars. 8 total commits. Like, they only have 8 commits. It's June. You don't have to be full right now.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
But like, the problem is they're missing out on guys that
They wanted.
That fans wanted and probably thought they should have had a chance with. Like, and all the defections from the team, whether they got kicked off or decided to transfer.
I mean, Tennessee has 5 players that are 5 or 4 stars. Florida has 4 4-stars. They just don't have any 3 stars. That's the only difference in being 36th and, what is Tennessee, 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between being 13, 14, 15 to 35, 36, 37 can be broken down by just how many 3 stars you've taken so far.
Correct. Right.
So there's really no need to panic in recruiting if you're either spot.
Globally, yes. But individually, when you're missing out on Rashada and then the stuff with the lawyer and then the letter and the guys leaving the team, like there's, you know, and I get it. Florida fans want to be up there at least in the top 15 by now. I totally understand that. But it is June. But fans are going to fan.
But I mean, I could argue that Texas Tech's class, or Texas Tech and Cincinnati, that their classes that are 8 or 9th
mm-hmm.
are not as good as Tennessee's or Florida's, who are at 13.
Well, it's top end. And that's the thing. They've got 21 and 20 commits, respectively, but only 3 4-stars for each, and both with 16 3-stars.
Wake Forest has 1 4-star player and 12 3-stars, and they sit 19th in the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
One spot ahead of Alabama.
Who has 2 5-stars, 4 4-stars, and only 7 total commits.
Yeah. So it really just depends on how it goes down the stretch. But I do understand getting frustrated you're missing on some guys you wanted.
I mean, Alabama has the highest player average in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They're 20th. It's just, you know, it's early. A lot of time. A lot of things to shake out, unfold.
So if you're a smart Florida fan, which I'm not sure those exist, there might be a few.
Oh, stop. That's a little rude. It's a little rude. There's
some. I know one. There's some. I know two. I know at least two.
I know a couple.
Yeah, okay. You know, it's definitely too early to freak out.
I mean, I enjoy the freak out, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I really enjoy it.
In this transfer day and age, I think I would rather have even more of a good builder and game day coach than like psycho recruiter that's weaker in those areas.
Like Butch Jones.
Because with the transfer portal, it gives you a little more time and like weaponry to get players based on how good you've been on the field.
Yes.
So like if Josh Heupel again this year can show that this offense is just going to be insane again, then he has more ways to get in. Let's say we're still like super thin at running back. For whatever reason, we just can't get the right high school running backs we want. He's going to be able to go out and say, hey, transfer running back. You'll be great in our offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have the guy putting up the big stuff on the field than a dude that can just go into a living room and convince the great running back to come, but when he gets him, can't quite maximize production on the field. I think the transfer portal helps more boring, organized, smart coaches. Well, I think Heupel's one of those.
It's also like you got to think too. They're going through, and I hate the phrase, but I really don't know how else to say it. I mean, it is a culture change.
Yeah.
Dan Mullen was do whatever you want. You know, I'm gonna draw up touchdowns in the orange and blue game. We're gonna, you know, I'm gonna be wearing Darth Vader, you know, like it was do what you want, just show up and play football. And obviously that kind of unraveled at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Napier seems like he seems more
disciplined.
He's got more Saban in him than he does, you know, Mullen or Dabo.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably why you're seeing a bunch of players leave. It's like, well, I signed for this guy who was fun and didn't discipline me that much and didn't really push me that hard, but you know, he was just such a good on-the-field coach that we won some games early. I'm not going to jive well with this type of personality. It's the same thing I thought would happen at LSU. We haven't seen nearly as many defections from LSU, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Brian Kelly, even though he's a jerk and a murderer, he can say, guys, I took Notre Dame to the playoff, what, 3 times?
Yeah, he's got a lot more equity.
Yeah, he can say, I'm going to push you hard. and it's going to work because I've done that at Notre Dame. And you guys are much more talented than the players I had at Notre Dame. We can win big here. Like, it's easier to buy into that than Billy Napier coming from Louisiana trying to be Saban or Brian Kelly without data to back up that it does work.
That makes sense.
In my opinion. Whereas Tennessee was different because they were all beaten down when Heupel got here. And you still had some guys leave, but you also had a coach come in to build that family atmosphere, to make sure the guys have fun, that they feel that they're that they're invested in the players. And so, but either way is going to just take a little bit of time.
And I was impressed with Dan Mullen in the one game when they went to LSU. It was the year LSU won the national championship, and they just went blow for blow with them on offense for like three quarters.
Did that game go to overtime?
No, I don't think so. But like,
that was like the best game he had when he was mixing in Emory Jones.
He still made some weird decisions. They got really lucky. Emory Jones just chucked one up on fourth down. Yep, got caught for a touchdown. But I mean, he drew up some good stuff. It's just he just doesn't. He's not great at running a whole program,
right,
especially with the pressures and the outside strain and stress of being at Florida. At Mississippi State, he was kind of insulated, didn't have to.
Well, and he was exceeding expectations at Mississippi State just about every year. Like they just didn't want to be an embarrassment.
Yeah.
At Florida, it's did you win a title or not? Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Like that's, you know, the standard has been set. That's what the fans are going to hold the coaches to, and I don't think any fan base should ever say, "Oh no, like those were the good old days and now we're just blah." Especially not in the SEC. Yep. Not when you're this close to all the great talent. Like if I'm a Nebraska fan, yeah, I might have to really look in the mirror and say, probably not going to get back to the Tom Osborne winning,
right,
you know, all those national championships. Like the game has changed and we live in Nebraska. But I don't have a problem with Florida fans holding that standard, holding the coach to that standard and holding them accountable, you know, with kind of how they respond to the program. That said, it's a little bit early.
Well, we always talk about how a new coach is able to, you know, recruit really well, usually better than expected based on the track record. But
and I think the first class that he put together, I mean, I think he did that. With where Mullen had them when he got fired and what Napier did to close, I mean, they finished one spot ahead of Tennessee this last year with the class and the transfers that he got.
Gotcha.
So I think he did that. And I'm actually surprised that I'm not saying I thought they'd be top five, but to see them at 36 and, you know, swinging and missing on some of these guys, it's a little surprising because it is still Florida. You know, they got banners, they got trophies, they got statues, they've got tradition, but it's a big change.
We'll come back with more Hour 3. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 3 continues. Talk a little recruiting. Tennessee got a couple 3-stars over the weekend. Had a bunch of other guys in visiting. Nico was in on his official visit. And all the reports are that he is recruiting hard for the Volunteers.
Well, of course.
Yeah, you mentioned Billy Napier kind of closing out that first class.
I mean, Mullen was fired November 21st. And I don't know how to see. Normally, they have when the player committed.
But Billy Napier's hired like December 4th-ish.
Okay.
Something like that.
So about 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he say, isn't he the one that said, we're not just going to sign guys between now and
And early, February. Well, yeah, early signing period. Yeah, he
early,
said.
Oh yeah, early was like 2 weeks later, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and everyone was they were all freaking out because they, I mean, they were low, low, low. Mm. I mean, I swear they were in like the 60s or 70s, and then, you know,
they closed and they were fine. They were kind of in that just normal range.
And he got let me count them real quick. I mean, he got 7 transfers He got a wide receiver that he got from Arizona State. He got He got three players from Louisiana, brought three with him. He also got Jalen Kimber, a corner from Georgia. He got Jack Miller, quarterback transfer from Ohio State, and defensive lineman Tyrone Truesdale from Auburn. And finished 17th in the rankings. So, I mean, it's a pretty decent job for...
Well, the top two players in the class both committed on December 15th. That was...
Okay, so there you go.
Signing period, right?
Yeah.
Third guy was November 23rd. So that's his guy too, right? That's all three of those guys defensive players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like he came in and saved. I mean, you got to remember Mullen didn't like he just didn't
recruit. He didn't recruit at all.
And even if he was recruiting, like midway through that season, everybody knew like this guy's not going to make it.
Trevor Etienne was a January commit. So the top four, yeah, I mean, basically top five guys are all after Mullen. So. I don't know. Sounds like Florida fans just being Florida fans. And they should just stay in the wait and see. Who knows?
I mean, maybe Florida fans have realized that if a coach can't take the heat from the fans, they're not going to work out. So you might as well turn the heat up really early and see if they can handle it or not. How about that?
Force him into resignation.
It's either that or force him to shut up and be a great coach. I mean...
It's a whip.
Think about it though. Like it eventually caught up with Urban, and he had to fake a health issue. But I mean, every time you know they turn the heat up, and the coach either you know kind of doubles down and does fine and bounces back a little bit, or they flame out and you know blaze of glory.
The weirdest one. I mean, in year two. So in year one, he goes 7-6, 3-5 in the conference.
Well, that was a weird hire to begin with.
Well, he went 6-6. He went 3-5. They won the bowl game. Then in year two. They go 11-2.
Yep. Is that they beat Louisville in the bowl game?
No, they lost to Louisville.
They lost to Louisville. Okay.
But still, I mean, they finished top 10 in the country. And the next year,
they were 11-1 regular season.
Yeah.
What year was that?
Year two.
Well, I know, but
it's possible.
Okay. So their one loss was to Georgia, and Georgia won the East. Had to be, right? Because it wasn't Tennessee in 2012, and it wasn't South Carolina. And there's only one other option from the...
Yeah, they lost to Georgia 17.
That, maybe that was... Was that a year Missouri went in 2012?
Oh. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, they lost to... no, it was Georgia.
That's what I thought.
And they lost to Louisville 33-23. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, they just fall apart. And, I mean, once you fall apart at Florida, you're just done. You're not going to have one of these, Auburn situations where you can have a really bad year and then come back again with another great year the next year.
No, right.
I mean, they tried. They gave him one more year, but then that was it.
4-8.
Yeah, he went 4-8.
What happened in our game with Florida that year? Was that the...
The 4-8 year? What year was it?
2013.
Was that when we checkered...
The first ever checker.
No, it would have been down there.
It was 31-17.
Was that the Peterman got sacked 100 times game?
His first ever career start in the Swamp?
I think it might have been.
We beat Austin Peay 45-0, then 52-20 over Western Kentucky.
No, that definitely was that game.
Then
100%.
Then at Oregon, 59-14 loss, of course. Yeah, and then, at Florida. 4-8 Florida team.
Is that the one that lost to Georgia Southern?
Yeah, I believe so.
And Georgia Southern did not complete a pass? Did they even attempt a forward pass?
And then the next year, Florida went 6-5, right?
Yeah, Georgia Southern, 26-20. Yeah.
God. And we lost to those teams.
But we lost by two touchdowns. Like, we lost? Yeah, we did.
That's when you sit down Butch Jones and say, hey, man, I don't care what you do the rest of the season. If Florida keeps falling apart, you're done. your job safety depends on what Florida does from here on out.
That's why everyone said we got to start playing Florida later in the year so we can catch him after the meltdown has begun. Florida currently,
Florida was awful that year, but I can't believe I'm about to say this because we did lose to Vandy 14-10 later, but In Butch Jones' defense.
Oh, God.
Florida was ranked 19th when they beat us.
Okay.
Then Tennessee did sneak by South Alabama by a touchdown. The next five games
did
on the
we
schedule.
Also,
these are the teams. This is where teams are ranked.
Did we not break Driscoll's leg in that game early? He threw a pick six, and I think Marlon Walls sacked him. He broke his ankle, and they brought in Tyler Murphy. I think it was Tyler Murphy.
Was that that game?
Well,
that was the other game.
No, Tyler Murphy. Or did Driscoll? No, I know Driscoll broke his ankle in the swamp.
Okay.
And we were beating him up bad here, and they brought in another backup quarterback in 13, and just ran it down our throat. But I didn't think that was Tyler Murphy.
Welcome to the SEC schedule. You know, when you're Tennessee, and
but we scouted Driscoll, broke his leg. He threw a pick six on the play, and then they brought in the other guy, and we hadn't scouted him, and he just ran all over us.
So
had to be Tyler Murphy.
Played number six Georgia, lost in overtime. You beat number 11 South Carolina. Then you had to play number one Alabama, then number 10 Missouri, then number 9 Auburn. You played five of the top 11 teams in a row.
Didn't that Auburn team run for 400 yards that day against us?
I don't know. Yeah, they scored 55 points.
Yeah, they were all over the place.
Missouri beat us 31-3. Yikes.
Wow. Florida's currently fifth in the SEC in recruiting, though. I mean, they're 36th nationally, but fifth in the SEC.
Yeah,
it's June. It's
SEC
early.
SEC teams are, you know, quality over quantity at this point.
You
can always get the three-star guy later.
Auburn has two commits.
Now, that's the fan base that should be worried.
Worried? Are they so worried that they're just like, all right, I'm out of here.
On to basketball.
They thought they were going to get a new coach. They thought Harsin was going to get fired.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't come up with enough info during the investigation, so he comes back. Now he's got two commits. I think they're projected to go 5-7 or something like that. Like, their projection is not good. I mean, the fewest commits in the SEC by far. Vanderbilt is 8th in the SEC, ahead of Auburn, Missouri, Mississippi State. Ole Miss is 11th. Texas A&M, Vanderbilt's beating A&M right now on the recruiting trail.
If Harsin goes 5-7, or hell, even 6-6, do they blow him out of there this year?
Yeah. If he goes 6-6, I think he
which
gets,
is just which
I think
is just a waste of time. If you're going to blow him out after year two, you shouldn't have even committed to him in year two to begin with.
Well, I thought the hire initially just made no sense. I mean, he had some good teams at Boise, and I remember Davey really liked the hire.
He was riding Chris Peterson's coattails there.
Oh, sure.
Peterson turned that into a juggernaut of a non-Power 5 program, and Harsin let it teeter off a little bit. Still kept it at a pretty high level, but was never quite the same. When does Jimbo's hot seat?
Jimbo? Start? What are you talking about? He is a king down there. He's also he's locked in for like.
Yeah.
Jimbo's a jackass. I'm sorry.
He's guaranteed like $8 million a year for the next 8 years.
And they're also guaranteed to go 8-4 every year for the next 8 years.
Hey, they beat Alabama, though, and they had the number one class in the country. That will buy you time even if you're not winning on the field.
It's true.
100%. Especially A&M. Like, yeah, they won a national championship, but that's not the expectation. It's not like they've been so good. They're just trying to find that coach to take them, you know, past 8-4. I mean, I agree with you, but A&M wants a natty, and they think Jimbo's the guy. They locked in on him, and he's doing enough off the field to where, I mean, that rant he had against Saban, whatever you think about it, doesn't really matter, because A&M fans were like, oh, my God, finally, somebody stood up to Saban, and it's our guy who beat him in recruiting and who beat him on the field. Like, he's doing enough to where I don't think, I mean, there's no way he gets fired this year. They could go 2-10. He's not going to get fired. Now, if you do it 2 years in a row, maybe. But the fans love Jimbo. I mean, that was one of the things that made him leave Florida State was, what'd they lose? Did they get like two quarterbacks hurt and their entire offensive line went out? They couldn't protect anybody and they didn't have a quarterback and they went 6-6 and he was like flipping fans off as he went into the tunnel? Because they were just terrible to him.
He just doesn't back down. He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't. He's got that West Virginia in him.
Mm-hmm. Slap you upside the head. Hour three continues. It is nice not to be the school without with all the drama.
I don't like it.
Okay. Wait, what?
It is fun having a little drama. You got to admit that.
Yeah, but it's also nice to not be that school.
I guess all I've ever seen in my life is football drama.
Yes, you're accustomed. You're conditioned to Tennessee being a dumpster fire, and for now, we're not. Mm. When the time comes, Hickman, we will have our fun. But maybe the time doesn't come, and that's a good thing. So enjoy the space between the crazy.
There's just something about being the underdog, you know. You like the climb so much, and you like that feeling that nobody cares when you're favored. You know, it's just it's like, all right, like, what's the fun in this? Like, you know how much fun I used to have going in Alabama games, knowing that there is a 99.9% chance it's going to be an ass beating, but that 0.1% is just so fun. It's like, you know, like, but what if?
So you would rather be 0.1% chance to win because it feels fun than 99.9% favorite? Now, I will admit, like, losing as that favorite is devastating. It's heartbreaking.
I've never been that favorite, you know. Like, but Tennessee's
wouldn't,
never
well, then
been that
how do you know you wouldn't like to try it?
No. Eventually. It's coming.
I've been saying that for a long time. Long time.
Are we going to see a Muschamp kind of year two jump from Heupel this year?
It's very possible. I mean, Philly said it, 8-4. It does feel kind of like the floor for this team. If there's, you know, improvement in the areas that need improvement.
I mean, we were some bad calls away from going 9-3 this year.
Oh, I know.
Which is absolutely insane.
Could have easily could have beaten Pitt. Easily could have beaten Ole Miss. And should have beaten Purdue.
You could have had a 10-win season year one.
Yeah. 10-3 would have been pretty good. I mean, I think they spent a lot of money on the stadium now. If we'd have gone 10-3, might have domed that bad boy.
Might have put in a third deck.
If I give you one road win out of these two games, which one are you taking?
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed win. At Pitt or at LSU?
LSU.
Yeah, it's a conference game. LSU.
Just didn't know if maybe you'd want the early one just to know you're going to be 3-0 playing Florida, and then you maybe get LSU, you know, momentum and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. So you're not saying pick one or the other. You're saying this one's guaranteed to win?
Yeah, and you might still win the other one.
Pitt, then. I don't think you want.
Who do you think's a – well, but, are we more likely to beat Pitt on the road or LSU?
Pitt.
Right. So I think we're more likely to beat Pitt, so I'll take LSU guaranteed because I think we're beating Pitt.
Well, no, like, here's the thing. Like, I take –
that's why I think it's a good question.
I take Pitt guaranteed.
Okay.
And then I roll the dice with LSU and just, you know, maybe you win it, maybe you don't. But I don't think you want any setbacks going into the Florida game this year whatsoever.
I agree with you.
So that's
but
why
it, I take But it is a non-conference game that in the end really doesn't matter.
Well, you know, if you let one loss turn into two losses, two losses, it will matter. So,
but he's not saying we lose the pick game. He's just saying it's a guarantee.
Yeah, you're guaranteed to win whichever one you pick. The other game, you just play it as is.
I mean, still, I wouldn't risk the odds.
You just want to know. You're starting 2-0, 3-0, then Florida.
And you have all the momentum in the world for the Gators, so.
And you get that one, you still have a week to kind of come down to earth, refocus, get ready to go on the road to Death Valley.
Now, it would be fun to go into Death Valley and win at night.
Yeah, it would.
They have Florida State.
Yeah, they have a pretty tough scheduled to open,
do
they not?
Southern Mississippi State, New Mexico, at Auburn. Yeah.
At Auburn. The week before? They don't have a bye, right? No, their bye is before Bama every year.
Yep. Yep, pretty tough. I mean, they got three, you know, care about them games.
I mean, do we like our odds against the first-year Brian Kelly after a tough schedule to start? Or do we like him more against Narduzzi, who we saw last year and probably should have beat? I mean, do you remember how
I think Brian Kelly will be more prepared. Well, I take that back. I think they'll be equally prepared. I think LSU will have more talent.
Exactly.
If their talent's prepared, I think that'll be a tougher test.
Do we have anyone who can cover Kayshon Boutte?
No. You're probably going to have to, you know, roll coverage and zone him and, you know.
Do they have a quarterback?
And get pressure on the quarterback so he can't find him. No, I think Pitt's obviously the easier of the two games. My conundrum was what Hickman said. Do I just want to guarantee a good start?
Yeah.
And let the dice just roll? Or like you, even if we were to lose to Pitt, maybe we beat Florida, or maybe we beat Pitt, lose to Florida. But I know that coming off the bye week, we are going to beat LSU and maybe like circle the wagons.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we win those first four, just rolling the dice. Now I know we're getting that LSU victory, and we're going to be looking good.
I think I'm going to take LSU.
Playing Bama.
I'm going to take LSU. Because okay. I
come off the bye week, you want that win.
And
either to steady the ship or to guarantee we're 5-0 to play Alabama.
First-year quarterback for Pitt. First-year offensive coordinator for Pitt. Yeah, they're riding high. They're coming off an ACC championship game. I think Tennessee fans will travel to Pitt. It is impossible to get tickets to a night game in Baton Rouge. I will take the victory in conference, guarantee me the win over LSU, and I'm rolling the dice for Pitt. No, I think
LSU win would carry more weight throughout the year and next year and everything.
Yes, and I firmly believe we are a better team than Pitt. I thought we were a better team last year, and I think we're a better team this year.
What about, would you sub it out for a Florida win? Guaranteed.
I'm guaranteed to win one of those three.
One of those three. Would you still take in the LSU game?
Nope. No.
It's Billy Napier. They're going to be terrible. It's at home.
It's
Florida. And it's home.
I'd be sticking with Pitt, too, or LSU, because we're going to kick Florida's ass.
Okay.
I read you the list during the break. I mean, from 2012 to 2017, we won one, and we should have won every single time.
Again. Read the list again. The listeners got to hear this. You got to find this. This is
2012.
Jeff Driscoll.
Jeff Driscoll. I'm going to say John. Then
Jeff.
Yes, Jeff Driscoll. Neyland. We lose. I don't remember the score of that one. That was Butch's first game. No, 2012. That would have been 2012. Was Dooley's last game.
That would have been.
That was the Trey Burton running all over us late. Was that Driscoll?
The College Game Day game. We were ranked 23rd. Florida was ranked 19th, I believe, at the time. College mm-hmm. game day came to town. Dooley's last year.
Yeah. 2013, Driscoll breaks his leg. Enter Tyler Murphy. We lose. 2014, Driscoll gets hurt again. Treyon Harris comes in. 10-9, we lose to Muschamp in the first ever Checker Neyland game. 2015, Greer to Callaway on 4th and 14. Butch Jones kicks the extra point instead of going for two because he never thought we would score. He was playing for the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
2016, obviously, great game. Tennessee wins after a big comeback. Get after Appleby a little bit. And in 2017, Frank's Hail Mary. That is, Hickman, six games. You won one out of six. You should have won them all.
Yeah, even if you give them one of those. I mean, Tennessee should have been 5-1 in that stretch, not 1-5.
Right. Yeah. So for you to say we're cooking Florida's ass this year, that's
so you're telling me that it's taken a lot of luck for Florida to beat us in recent memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they always get it.
No. Luck always runs out at some point.
All right. So you're just calling this the time.
It's over. Their luck's over.
All right.
Billy Napier's in over his head.
He's not lucky. Is that what you're saying?
No, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's already out here writing sob stories to the fans. They lose a couple games early, it's off the rails.
So,
done.
So you would rather roll the dice for Florida.
Mm-hmm. He's going to keep his
and guarantee the Pitt win.
Yes, because realistically, there's a 75% chance we beat Florida in Neyland Stadium this year.
75%.
Yes.
I mean, you remember Anthony Richardson, right? Like the guy can. The guy can scoot. Well, how did they beat us last year? Emory Jones scooting around.
Some bad breaks on our part.
Callaway couldn't catch a cold, and what really hurt us, I thought, was when Cooper Mays got hurt.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Had a couple of bad breaks.
Because he was playing well, and then didn't he get hurt against like Bowling Green or Pitt, and then he tweaked it again, and Florida tried to play on it? I mean, he couldn't even walk to set the ball.
Billy Napier last year at Louisiana.
Yeah.
6-0 in one possession games.
Sounds like some luck, Hickman.
We'll come back. Final segment of the program next. Final segment of the program. Got a pretty cool Billy Napier stat for Adam Hickman. Napier, in his last 2 years at Louisiana, is 12-1 in one possession games. That does not include the 31-14 ass whooping he put on Matt Campbell at Iowa State.
That was a good loss for Matt Campbell. You know, it sparked the great historic season for the Cyclones.
It does include the overtime victory at Georgia State, the 2-point victory at home against Georgia Southern, and then the 3-point loss to Jamie Chadwell at Cajun Field.
So if you have to sweat games out in the Sun Belt, I'm not necessarily going to be just terrified to play you in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the, I don't want to say the rub, but apparently, according to fans of Louisiana, you will be in close games. Some you should not be in, and others you should
You're
not
glad
be,
to be in.
Yeah. Like, sometimes you will overachieve and hang right there with a really good team that you weren't supposed to beat, and then you will have Southern West State in a nail biter in the fourth quarter. But his luck has run out, according to Hickman.
Yeah, he's done.
The fans have turned up the heat.
Beating Matt Campbell's probably the peak of his career.
It's the highlight.
I'd say probably getting the Florida job is probably the highlight.
Probably the highlight so far, yeah. And he's been at Alabama and Clemson, right? That's why he's so highly coveted.
Yes. He
stole from both fountains.
He's interned with some high-level companies, basically.
We have a life alert update from
I saw that.
Big Mac Zach.
This is important.
His grandmother just got it yesterday. Maybe these things aren't that popular.
Nate, they save a life every 11 seconds. Or 11 minutes, excuse me. 11 minutes.
Man, how many is that per show? Enter break. Get on that math. Just kidding. He said it's a speaker system that can pick up noise from any room in the house. You just press the button on the necklace and someone asks what's going on. I know, but there still has to be a connection to that person.
Yeah, it's probably phone line. The speaker system probably tucks into the phone line.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So you wouldn't even have to have a landline phone service. The service could just be the Life Alert service. Through a phone line. Right?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, I would think so.
Maybe.
The more you know. Important stuff, of course. As always, taking care of it.
Yep. I like how Hickman's all in. That's going to be a victory for the Gators.
I mean, guaranteeing the Pitt win over Florida and LSU is just... Yeah. I don't know if it's... It's either very smart or very stupid.
The season is more fun when you get that big, like, hype on the front end. Like, when Tennessee was 5-0, oh, my goodness.
I mean, they were interviewing Butch Jones on ESPN Sunday mornings.
I mean, if we'd had the same record that year, but the wins and losses have been all switched around, it wouldn't have been nearly as fun. So, there is something to be said for winning early, even if it all comes crashing down. Because you don't know that yet, see? It's all about timing.
It's a great
winning
point.
Early. Yeah. That's a Tennessee specialty right there.
Is it, though?
Let's see. Baseball team won early.
Basketball team wins early.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Let's try winning late for once.
How about both?
Yeah, both.
How about you win early and late?
In football, that's what it takes. So, it goes. Did you watch hockey last night? Avs beat the Lightning 2-1, ended their claim to being a dynasty. Would have been three-peat for the Lightning.
I did not watch it, but the Avs were the best team in the NHL all
season. So it's over?
So hockey is over.
Hockey's over.
They go to five, right?
Huh?
How many games?
Seven. They play all best of seven.
Huh.
It probably is the best playoffs in all sport, really.
No.
Yeah, it really is. Anyway, college baseball's over. Hockey's over. We've hit the official summer radio. There's just baseball. That's it.
Major no, baseball, there's golf.
Which we don't talk about. There is golf. So you're excited this weekend about the LIV Tour? Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
I didn't say I was excited. I just said there is golf.
Okay.
I know you're excited.
There's tennis. Wimbledon's starting up.
Nah.
They're banned all the Russian and Belarusian
You
players.
Two can bring us with the tennis hour.
Okay.
It's a joke.
Did you watch the cycling this weekend? live from here Knoxville.
Yeah, it definitely is summer. USA it's definitely summer when we get tennis, cycling, and golf.
Championship.
Now, how big of a cycling deal is that that we had going on this week?
Well, in terms of American cycling, it is number one. Problem with that is American cycling is very, very low on the list. Like, basically have like half minor league teams, half low end of major teams that compete.
But, I saw a lot of pictures of it, and all I could think is, what an inconvenience.
Mm. Shouts out to Ben King, though. He didn't win, but that guy, he won it for his team, you know?
He didn't win, but he won it?
Well, he kept attacking over and over, kind of softened everybody else, made them chase him, and then one of his teammates was able to break away late to win it. It's a team sport, you know?
Team player.
Yeah.
Cycling, golf, and tennis. Woo! Can't wait for vacation.
Don't forget the life alert.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Animal, three and out. That's the best three and out.
Honey baked ham.
Still need to make that Chuck E. Cheese run.
Mm, yeah. Pizza. We owe him pizza.
Yeah.